Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning. Welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program, for it's our purpose to speak only those things that are found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question, maybe a comment concerning something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject and you've been studying and would like for us to spend time and deal with it on the program, so to let us hear from you, you can contact me at the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. At 9:30, the church at East Abbotville that meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 will have Bible study. We have classes for all ages. We urge you to come, bring your family, bring your Bible, and study with us. It's then at 10:30 that we will come together and we will worship God according to the things that have been commanded in the New Testament that are to be done in worship upon the first day of the week. We will sing, we will pray, we will observe the Lord's Supper, we will lay by in stores, we've been prospered, and we will hear a lesson from God's Word. We urge you to come and to be with us. Tonight at 5 o'clock, we will come together and worship God. Also, on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock, we have, again, a period of Bible study where that you can come and bring your Bible, bring your families, for we have classes for all ages. If it's absolutely impossible for you to come to the building, please keep in mind that at 9:30, at 5, and then on Wednesday at 7, you can log on to eastabbotville.org/live, and you can both see and hear, whether it be the Bible study or the worship period. You can also do the same on the church's YouTube channel and on the church's Facebook page. Keep these things in mind as we offer you this opportunity. Whether you can come and be with us, you'd be an honored guest, but if not, we would still hope you would avail yourselves of the opportunity to see and hear the things that we do at the East Abbotville Church of Christ and compare that with only what the Bible teaches. We also want you to be mindful that tonight at 8 o'clock on this radio station, Bible Crossfire will air for a period of 30 minutes. Pat Donahue is the host of that program. He will first off give you his phone number. You can call that number and speak directly to him and give him your Bible question. And in return, expect only a Bible answer. That's tonight at 8 o'clock on WBSA, Bible Crossfire. And if you cannot pick up this station at 8 o'clock, but you have satellite radio capability, tune to Sirius XM, channel 131. And there you can listen to the Bible Crossfire program. And again, we all have cell phones. If you have a Bible question, you can call in your question and have Brother Donahue to give you only a Bible answer for it. Keep all those things in mind. We hope that you'll make use of them. You know, anybody that has surfed the 666 channels on our cable network, or maybe you've talked with your neighbor across your backyard fence, but you've heard people claim the special and the direct guidance of the Holy Spirit. You see, many of these people believe that the first evidence of that miraculous operation is the ability to speak in tongues. You know, beginning with William Seymour, the Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles, California, back in 1906, the Pentecostal movement has spread throughout the country and the world. It is taking in people from every educational, every economic, every culture, in fact, every denominational background. But the two main identifying marks of this movement are, number one, the claim to miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially the gift of healing, and second, the ability to speak in tongues. That ability to speak in tongues is often called glos alama or glos aluma. As used in our study, this glos aluma is simply unintelligible speech. It's the use of syllables in speaking that you sound them in a sort of a rhythm fashion. But the truth of the matter is there is no real or definite meaning. Sometimes they're referred to as heavenly voices. But the question that I intend to examine is this. Is this modern speaking in tongues that's claimed today, is it really the same gift as the ability to speak in tongues that we read about in the New Testament church? What I want to do is to make a then and now comparison. First of all, the nature of these two things are different. That is, the tongues that were spoken in the New Testament church and those that are claiming to be spoken to now, the nature of both of them are different. You see, in the New Testament, tongues were recognizable human languages. On the day of Pentecost, the apostles, they spoke in tongues. And we read about in Acts chapter 2 and verse 6 that those that heard them, notice verse 6, that when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. So see, we see here that the speakers, they spoke in their own language. So it was intelligent, recognizable languages, words that could be understood. And when you drop down to verse 11 in Acts chapter 2, in talking about all of the different nations of the Jews that were present on that Pentecost, it says in verse 11, it says, we hear them speaking in our own tongue the wonderful works of God. So see, the hearers knew. They were speaking of the wonderful works, the mighty deeds of God. See, that would have been something impossible if all that really they were hearing was some unintelligent gibberish that we hear today. Another thing is the reception of these two things is different. What are we talking about, the speaking in tongues that we read about in the New Testament, or we're talking about the speaking in tongues that are claimed to be done today? The reception, how they came about receiving that is different. See, in the New Testament, tongues were received in a miraculous way. Some received tongues by a direct outpouring of the Holy Spirit from God. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, of which really we only have two cases that we read about in the New Testament where Holy Spirit baptism was administered. One is here in Acts 2, verses 1 through 4 is the very beginning of Acts 2, and it explains that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The pronouns here, that they were all in one accord. Suddenly there came this from heaven, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And then it appeared and set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. We've got to go back into chapter 1, and we see that it was the apostles that were the recipients of this Holy Spirit baptism. We see that clearly because that's what Jesus promised back in John chapters 14, 15, and 16, that he would send the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. So we see the fulfillment of that which Jesus promised before he had to suffer, bleed, die, be buried, and resurrected from the dead. The other example, or the other occasion, of Holy Spirit baptism is in Acts 10. We can read that in verses 44 through 48 concerning the conversion of Cornelius. Others received, we know in the New Testament times, tongues through the laying on of the apostles' hands. That we read when Paul went into the city of Ephesus in Acts chapter 19 and encountered those 12 men who only knew of the baptism of John, and when Paul preached unto them Jesus, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And Paul laid his hands upon them, and the Bible says that they spoke with other tongues, that is, tongues that they had not learned. You and I can learn other tongues today, but we have to learn them. We have to apply ourselves to either classes or whatever is necessary in order to learn another language. But whether it was the apostles in Acts 2, whether it was Cornelius in Acts 10, or whether it was these 12 men in Acts 19, this was a miraculous receiving. And it only comes either through the baptism of the Holy Spirit or through the laying on of the apostles' hand. Now, there's only one baptism today. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4 teaches. Actually, it's in verse 5. Verse 4 says, "For there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling." Verse 5, "One Lord, one faith, one baptism." So, that is water baptism, and it's for the remission of sins. We see it being administered all throughout the book of Acts. Whether it was to those on the day of Pentecost, they were told to repent and be baptized. Whether it was the Samaritans in Acts 8, whether it was the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8, whether it was any of those that were converted during Paul's missionary journey, always baptism referred to water baptism. When Philip and the eunuch came to a certain water in Acts 8, the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" So we saw it seeing then that Ephesians 4 and verse 5 is saying there is one baptism, and that's water baptism. No one either receives the gift of the Holy Spirit by Holy Spirit baptism today. Because, as we said, only two cases, Acts 2 to the Jews on the day of Pentecost, and Acts 10 upon Cornelius, who were Gentiles, in Acts chapter 10. This fulfilled the promise that Joel said that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. All flesh is composed in Jew and Gentile. And we see that being accomplished in Acts 2 with the Jews, in Acts 10 with the Gentiles. And then, too, there are no apostles today to lay hands on me, you, or anyone else and impart this miraculous gift. So, there is no tongue speaking today. Today, speaking in tongues is something that has to be learned. And therefore, these people today who believe in advocate that they're speaking in tongues, it's not the tongue speaking that we read about in the New Testament. And then, too, the recipients of the two are different. Not only is the way that it was to be received different between these two, but the recipients of the two. In the New Testament, the recipients of the gifts of tongues were Christians. The only exception was Cornelius, and he immediately became a Christian when he heard the gospel. We read that in Acts 10, verse 11. Well, actually, Acts chapters 10 and chapters 11. Today, not all who speak in tongues are Christians. These heavenly voices are found in the practice of modern Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims. In fact, there are even those that speak in tongues that are homosexuals. Even many false teachers lay claim to the same practice of speaking in tongues. In fact, you have two groups that are totally opposite to one another as far as their belief. You have the Pentecostals that believe in the one person in the Godhead, and then you have the Pentecostals that believe that there are three persons in the Godhead, and yet both of them claim to be speaking in tongues. Friends, is the Holy Spirit gifting all of those that teach and practice contradictory doctrines? Certainly not. And none of these are practicing the gift of tongues that we read about in the Bible. Another thing. The purpose of the two are different. See, in the New Testament, the gift of tongues, it was a tool to reveal, to confirm. It was to establish God's word. That's what Jesus said in the giving of the commission in Mark chapter 16. Notice what we read, verse 17. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Again, we've got to understand who the pronouns are referring to. Who are the them in these verses? Well, all we have to do is go back to verse 14, and it says, he appeared to the 11 as he sat at the table. So it was the apostles that Jesus said these things to, that you will be able to cast out demons. You will be able to speak with new tongues. You can take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. You lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And it was the apostles that would go forth and preach everywhere, and the Lord would be working with them and confirming the word through these miracles that he made just mentioned. And of course, we could go to Hebrews 2, we could go to 1 Corinthians 14, that says the same thing. See, modern speaking in tongues cannot be used to establish truth today because people who teach contradictory doctrines claim to all have that ability to speak in tongues. But friends, it's impossible because they both lay claim to the same gift. And it, of course, neither is that which is the gift of the New Testament as far as the speaking of tongues. Then, too, the regulation. This is something that we need to understand concerning the difference in the speaking in tongues in the Bible and the speaking in tongues that are claimed to be done today. There's one passage in the New Testament that regulated the exercise of miraculous gifts of speaking in tongues. And that's in 1 Corinthians 14. We don't have time to read, starting at verse 26, but if you read verses 26 through 40, here are some of the regulations that we find mentioned. One is all things had to be done for edification that we see in verse 26. The second thing is in any given assembly, tongue speaking was to be limited to two or at most three. That's in verse 27. A third regulation. These tongue speakers were to address the assembly one at a time. And that we read in verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 14. A fourth regulation. The tongues were to be always interpreted. Or, if not, the tongue speaker was to remain silent. That we see in verse 28. A fifth regulation. Women were to remain silent. That's in verses 34 and 35. And a sixth regulation, all things were to be done in decency and in order. That's in verse 40. You know, in witnessing several assemblies where these so-called modern tongue speakers practice their speaking in tongues, I have never seen even one of these regulations that we've just spoken about observed. Not all that was done for the common good, because the speaker in tongues was not being interpreted. Instead of only two or three, and then one at a time, many spoke in tongues, virtually all at the same time. This unintelligible gibberish had no interpreter, primarily because there's nothing to interpret. See, even in plain violation of what verses 34 and 35 state, instead of the women being silent, they were the ones that were speaking in tongues. In most cases, those that were speaking in tongues was being spoken by women. There was no observable decency and an order about the assembly. In fact, you really could describe it as a controlled chaos. See, friends, this shows beyond doubt that the speaking in tongues practiced today is not even a 30-second cousin to what we read about in the New Testament church. Then there is the matter of duration, how long they were to last. The duration of the two is different. See, in the New Testament, spiritual gifts, of which the ability to miraculously speak in another language was one, were all for the purpose of revelation and confirmation of God's word. We read that a moment ago in Mark chapter 16, verses 17 through 20. We read that. They confirmed both the message and it confirmed the messenger. And the scriptures plainly teach that those first century miraculous gifts ceased when that revelation was complete. We read that in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 13. Our time is short, so we don't have time to read it, but read it yourself. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 13. And we know that revelation of God's word is complete because when Jude, in verse 3, said, "Contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints." Past tense, not yet in the process, but past tense. So revelation is complete, and therefore the gifts, these miraculous gifts that were used to reveal the word of God and to confirm, have ceased. You know, by way of sort of illustrating this, one could liken spiritual gifts to scaffolding that we find being used in the construction of a building. When the structure is complete, the scaffolding is taken down. With revelation, complete and unchangeable, unalterable, there is no more need for miraculous spiritual gifts, since the purpose of these miraculous spiritual gifts have ceased. It's interesting to note from a historical perspective that from the pens of some early Christian writers, such as Augustine and others, the references to the ceasing of miraculous gifts. It's been my experience that Pentecostal debaters have acknowledged this historical evidence, but they still attribute what they claim to be the outpouring of the miraculous today to be a part of the latter rain mentioned in James 5, verse 7 of the Holy Spirit. This latter rain that they claim began in Azusa Street Revival back there in 1906 that we spoke about to begin our study with. Their claims, notwithstanding, from both an historical and a biblical perspective, is, it is easy to see, that the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit were intended to be temporary. And in fact, they were recognized by both. They ceased in the first century. 2, the focus of the gifts are different, the speaking in tongues. You know, take careful note that the practice of miraculous spiritual gifts in the New Testament, including the gift of tongues, was for the edifying of the entire church. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And in verse 26, when you assemble, let all things be done for edification. You see, in the New Testament, the focus of the interpreted tongue being spoken was the edifying of other people. That's a word that's resounded all through the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Verses 4, 5, 6, verses 12, 13, verse 19. But friends, today, this speaking in tongues is all about the feeling of the person doing the speaking. In fact, it's not uncommon for those that are speaking in tongues to talk about what that ability has done for them, how wonderful the practice is, or how empty their spiritual life had been before they learned to speak in tongues. In fact, others are even encouraged to try in order to get that same blessed feeling. But again, the focus of the gift of speaking in tongues in the New Testament and that claim by those speaking in tongues today is exactly the opposite to each other. And 2, the emphasis of the two are different. See, the spiritual gifts of God that are set in the church that we find listed in 1 Corinthians 12, the gift of tongues was among the very last that was mentioned. In fact, not every Christian spoke in tongues in the New Testament. Paul said that the gift of prophecy was to be desired above the ability to speak in tongues in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 5. But the emphasis that's placed upon this gift is different among modern speakers in tongues. Pentecostals and other charismatics teach and act as though the ability to speak in tongues is among the most important of gifts. They would have us to believe that tongues are for all Christians, and some believe that the modern gift of tongues is a sign of a person's salvation. But friends, it's the work of Satan to blind the minds of the unbelieving. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. People that don't receive a love of the truth are often deluded into believing lies. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 through 12. And I don't say this to question people's sincerity, only their understanding of the Scriptures and their misunderstanding of their personal experience. It ought to be abundantly clear that those that are speaking in tongues today is not the same gift of tongues that we read about in the New Testament. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see what it are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. 1 John 4 and verse 1. We see your time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.